Nutmeg Junction presents Barnaby Druthers. Barnaby Druthers, London's second favorite private detective, investigates mysteries with his intellectual partner, Irene Adler. In the classic Victorian-era tales, Barnaby picks up where the most famous London detective left off. In the modern Druthers stories, Barnaby explores mysteries in modern-day America. Right here on Barnaby Druthers. In this three-part Tacoma, Washington adventure taking place in modern day, Barnaby and Irene were invited to the City of Destiny to be pitched by Sino Animation Studio on a Druthers cartoon. During a meet-and-greet voyage on a cruise in Puget Sound, the lead voice actor, Heath Brompton, appeared to be murdered, and Barnaby and Irene investigated. In part two, they discovered the event was a ruse. However, things took a turn when Irene Adler reported Heath Brompton had been found dead, and now the thrilling conclusion to Hollywood by the Sea.
This is a work of fiction. Any similarity between any names or situations in this story is completely coincidental.
No one should enter Heath's cabin. I'm locking the door.
Heath is really dead? This can't be real.
I demand my lawyer. I'm not speaking to anyone. Not Druthers. Not to you, Sidon. Not anyone.
Even in death, Heath is always stealing the spotlight.
Please, everyone, if we could have your attention, Barnaby Druthers has something to say.
I do?
We owe it to the recently departed Heath Brompton to resolve this case and bring closure. Let's rally around and get it done.
You're right, of course, Miss Adler, as usual. Very well. Fate has placed us here to face a most grim situation. But have no fear. We are in this together.
I wish I had never climbed aboard this ship.
Who wishes it so? Yes, we are all here upon this ship in what was meant to be a celebration, and, let's be honest, a trick against Miss Adler and myself. Your no-so-clever scheme of asking Heath to pretend to be dead to elicit a murder mystery experience was not the finest. Would you agree?
It was Sidon's idea.
Thank you, Mr. Merton. But for whatever the cause of us being here, we are here. And now to serve a more important cause. We must strive together to find a killer. To find justice for one man who died tragically within our midst today. Today, which of all days, is St. Crispian's Day. You are a part of this story. We are all a part of it. And one day that story shall the good man teach his son. On this day, from each year hence, to the ending of the world, we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we fellow cruise ship occupants are enough to do our part. And those in Tacoma in their beds tonight shall think themselves accursed they were not here while anyone speaks of St. Crispian's Day.
Henry V? Really, Barnaby?
Technically, Crispian's Day is in October, but it rouses them together, everyone.
Now, let's get to work.
Barnaby Druthers, Hollywood by the Sea. Part 3. Written, created, and produced by J. Timothy Quirk. Directed by A.J. Lynn. Music by Bob Eccleston. Starring Devin Richtmeyer as Irene Adler and Humphrey Ralston as Barnaby Druthers. With Beth Steinberg, Jason Kulas, Rich Sear, Olivia Wadsworth, Kurt Boucher, A.J. Lynn, Robert C. Fullerton. Produced by J. Timothy Quirk and Kurt Boucher. Copyright 2021. And now, Barnaby Druthers, Hollywood by the Sea, Part 3, The Conclusion.
Captain Larchmont, or dare I say, not Captain Larchmont.
The Larchmont is true. I'm a voice actor. best known for playing Patient Pudding in the Dr. Banana cartoon. Do you know my work?
I was blissfully unfamiliar of the entire Dr. Banana series before I came here, and I look forward to returning to that state of affairs after tonight.
Sidon asked me to play the part of the captain so she could stage her pretend murder mystery so we could see how you work. She didn't expect it to become so real.
You've been placed in a difficult position, Larchmont. You're the only person on board whose identity was given under false pretenses.
If I had known this was going to happen, there's no amount of money that would have convinced me to even come here tonight. Even after Sidon asked me, I turned it down, but Kelly, she's the head writer, she promised me a lactose intolerance arc for Patient Pudding if I participated.
So, Mr. Larchmont, under the inducement of a role, you clearly have a motive and are not above suspicion.
Wait, see here, I admit nothing.
Thank you, Mr. Larchmont, or dare I say, Captain. Please send in Paul, the assistant writer, next.
But wait!
Thank you, sir, indeed.
I said I'm not talking without my lawyer.
We're not the police, and you're under no obligation. But we do believe you could help us come to a resolution in this matter.
By quoting Henry V?
I suppose, as a writer, you're very familiar with the work of the Bard.
Oh, it's great on a resume when you write cartoons about talking fruit.
Have you been with Sinai Animation long?
3 years.
How do you like it?
I can be in the industry, and I didn't have to move to L.A. I get to stay here and work on Hollywood by the Sea. That's how Sidon thinks of Tacoma.
What if we were to tell you there was conversation about leaving Tacoma?
That wouldn't happen. Sidon would never let it happen.
Were you aware Heath Brompton resided in Sonoma County, a little chateau in Santa Rosa? What if I told you he demanded to move the award-winning Dr. Banana show to Santa Rosa so he could be closer to his ficus plants?
Gene had the ficus plants and lived in Santa Rosa. You know about those two, right?
Could you expand on that just a little for our edification, sir?
Gene used to live near Bodega Bay. She discovered Heath when he was just a bit player in community theater. She brought him to Sidon, and the rest is history. This whole thing must kill her.
Oh, dear. Barnaby, if you'll excuse me, I shall go find her.
Quite right.
What's going on? Did I say something wrong? Look, I have nothing further to say. I demand my lawyer.
Very well, Paul. I just wanted to affirm with you that you are not above suspicion here.
What?
That will be all, sir. Send in Heath's co-star, Abigail Constantine. Thank you.
Oh, it's a tragedy. A true tragedy.
Are you serious in that assessment, Abigail Constantine, or just acting, Abigail?
Yes, I'm that good. You can't tell, can you? Well, I am serious. No one wanted him truly dead.
I thought you told him to drop dead back at the studio.
A metaphor, a turn of phrase. If I wanted him dead, the last thing I would say would be drop dead. Surely you understand that.
I do. I understand.
But pretending he was dead for your benefit? Oh, that was a true joy. I didn't have to be paid for it.
But where are you?
Well, I'm with the Union, so yes. But I didn't mind playing the part of the one who killed Heath Brompton. It's a far better part than sour grapes.
We'll discuss sour grapes in a moment. But when your group was faking Heath's death, what role were you to play?
I was supposed to be the one who did it. Obviously, they demanded an actor of exceptional talent to play the part of the guilty party. You know, I prepared an exceptional confession soliloquy. Would you like to hear it?
Not particularly, no.
It is your loss. And a loss for theater, really. Oh, it was to be a grand performance. If I really wanted to destroy Heath Brompton, I wouldn't go about killing the man. I'd simply release his old tweets,
The ones he made before he became famous and was trying to be funny. Out of context, old social media jokes rarely stand the test of time.
You would have had him cancelled?
Easily.
You would be a formidable opponent, Abigail.
I am indeed.
I can assure you, you have not been placed above suspicion.
Oh, I should hope not.
Please send in Merton Fezziwell, the CFO.
Jean is all sorted out. She's fine.
We shall not bother her then.
Come in, Merton Fezziwell.
Merton Fezziwell, the Chief Financial Officer at Sanao Animations.
My time is valuable, Mr. Druthers.
Especially for those paid by the hour, yes?
For anyone who values their time, as I do.
And doesn't someone who values money above all else have the temperament to commit murder?
Hardly, Mr. Druthers. There are always variables to an equation, of course, but someone in my position would be more likely to commit a white-collar crime than an act of violence. I would do neither.
Why would you be above suspicion, Merton?
I do not have the temperament, and as a rule, my words have enormous impact for this company. I would have no reason to cause harm to anyone.
And yet, did you cost justify this cruise, Merton?
I didn't. I advised against it. But my counsel was not heeded.
For a man who is used to be listened to, that must have made you quite angry.
Anger is an emotion a person in my position can least afford.
But were you angry?
No.
Irate?
No.
Enraged?
No.
Outraged?
No.
Furious?
No.
Mad?
No.
Took umbrage?
No!
So just angry, then?
No! I said no! I mean 1,000 times no! I am not, I was not angry!
Interesting. Because you sound a little, oh, what's the word, Miss Adler?
I think the word is angry.
What?
Methinks he doth protest too much.
Temper, yes. He has quite the temper, does he not?
I do not have a temper, and I'm not angry, you vacuous, overrated, overpaid, waste of a line item on a spreadsheet!
Yes, I think we have all that we need from you, Merton Fezziwell. That will be all. Good evening.
Wait a minute. What I meant to say...
Send inside and Sinnoh, if you please. Thank you.
I just wanted to humbly apologize for any misunderstanding.
Thank you, Mr. Fezziwell.
I just mean to say it's not as if my temporary outburst is in any way representative of anything to be misconstrued.
Close the door on your way out, Merton.
A man who collects collector spoons would never really...
I'll close the door for you. Good evening, Merton.
That was fun.
Immensely. We still have Sean the PA, but I'd rather not bother the man. And Kelly the head writer who wanted to learn all she could about our investigation methods.
That's why she won't be called upon at all.
Quite so.
Come in, Sidon.
Oh, Irene, Barnaby, I'm beside myself.
You're overwrought, Miss Sinnoh. Please sit down.
Thank you. This is not how I wanted the evening to go.
You wanted the evening to be a simple prank against Barnaby and myself.
I didn't look at it as a prank. I suppose it was. I just thought we could learn from you by putting on a little murder mystery on this cruise.
How did you think we would react, Sidon?
I thought you would find it interesting and intriguing.
It has distracted me, certainly. Normally I have difficulty being on the water, but this little problem of yours has distracted me to no end. But the reality of an actual death has a profound effect on anyone, even those whose jobs are to create fictional stories.
My studio means the world to me. I wanted so much to bring Hollywood to Tacoma.
Hollywood by the sea.
That's right. In my own way.
Looking out at the city from the sound, I can see the appeal.
Oh, the city is beautiful. and it's home.
When you love something as much as you do, sometimes the choices made can have unintended consequences.
With all of the hubbub, you have not even asked us our decision on whether we will allow Sinao Animation to create a Barnaby Druthers cartoon.
It's not as important as the loss of a life. And a rich talent as Heath Brompton III.
I can't tell you how pleased we are to hear you say that, Sidon.
What do you mean?
I think we conclude this business before the ship can pull into Commencement Bay. Have the captain, the real captain, sound the bosun, and we'll call everyone on deck. Shall we, Miss Adler?
Indubitably, Barnaby.
Thank you all for coming on deck. As you know, Sinao Animation Studios was interested in creating a Barnaby Druthers cartoon. You brought Miss Adler and myself here and invited us on board this cruise ship, not only to convince us to grant the license to our likenesses and images, but also to give your writers, specifically Kelly, your head writer, a first-hand experience in learning how we conduct our business.
You concocted a murder mystery to be played on board this cruise ship by taking us into Puget Sound so that a simple phone call to the police could end the charade. You asked Heath Brompton to hide himself away in a cabin and pretended he had been thrown off. You asked Kelly, the head writer, to shadow us and learn from us.
It is for that reason that we completely neglected Kelly entirely and refused her any sort of participation into these proceedings.
That wasn't fair.
Oh, that's what you sound like. I have forgotten. Anyway, thank you for your lack of participation. We assume the use of the cruise to learn from us indirectly instead of paying us for our time was an idea put forth by Merton, the CFO.
It was making lemonade from the lemon of an idea.
We agree. It was a bad idea. What you did not count on was how fast we would discover that Captain Larchmont, who you pretended to be in charge, was not actually the captain. Once we spoke to the real captain, the entire ruse unraveled.
We didn't know someone would use the opportunity to actually murder Heath.
Well, as to that, yes, the man who betrayed Dr. Banana is a man of many talents. And there is something you should know about the whole thing.
Physician, heal thyself.
Heath!
Stealing the spotlight yet again.
Yes, indeed. It is I. Please, 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 hold the applause.
No one is applauding, Heath.
Thank you for following instructions. Yes, tis I. I played a corpse, and I think, quite frankly, it is my greatest work to date.
Barnaby and I decided what was good for the goose was good for the gander. Or, to put an even finer point on the proceedings,
we decided to fool you in the same manner you attempted to fool us. But once we realized Jean had a true relationship with the man, we did not want to let her suffer, so we let her in on the secret and let her sit with Heath in the cabin until this reveal.
Oh, Heath, I'm so relieved.
Yes, yes, yes. I know, I know. I am the best.
For lack of better phrasing, we do not mind being played on screen or in a cartoon, but we refuse to be played in life.
Are you saying, even after all this, you'll let us create a Barnaby Druthers cartoon?
Oh, I admit it. I jolly well can't wait to portray Barnaby Druthers. I sound just like him, don't I?
It is uncanny, sir.
I know. I am the best.
Can I offer you a beverage, Miss Adler, Miss Constantine?
Yes, please. Two of the finest for Abigail and myself. Thank you.
Coming right up.
I don't know the PAs, to be honest.
The PA today may be the producer hiring you tomorrow.
Quite right. You know, I look forward to portraying you, Irene. I'll be playing a role that involves a lot more than sour grapes.
Speaking of grapes, here comes the glasses.
Sidon, we are very hopeful for the success of your Sinao Animation Studio.
I'm so grateful you came here to Tacoma, Barnaby. Irene.
Tacoma is a beautiful community, and I enjoyed seeing it from the distance of the cruise ship, but I feel we could enjoy it even more on land than next time.
Another visit is in our future, Barnaby.
Quite right, Miss Adler. That may be our destiny.
Tacoma is the city of destiny.
Indeed it is, Sidon. And you're doing your part to fulfill your destiny here.
To bring a little bit of Hollywood home.
To build Hollywood by the sea.
Barnaby Druthers, Hollywood by the Sea, Part 3. Written, created, and produced by J. Timothy Quirk. Directed by A.J. Lynn. Music by Bob Eccleston. Starring Devin Richtmeyer as Irene Adler and Humphrey Ralston as Barnaby Druthers. With Beth Steinberg, Jason Kulas, Rich Sear, Olivia Wadsworth, Kurt Boucher, A.J. Lynn, Robert C. Fullerton. Produced by J. Timothy Quirk and Kurt Boucher. Copyright 2021.
Lionel Johnson fervently believed Barnaby Druthers agreed to investigate a rather personal and somewhat embarrassing situation on his behalf. He was wrong, of course, as Barnaby was not listening. No one of good conscience could blame Barnaby. Lionel Johnson was a poet with a disturbing penchant for wanting his poems to be heard and admired, so he never lost an opportunity to regale a captive audience with selections from a book of poems he was writing, which he had ingeniously decided to call poems. If brevity is the soul of wit, then Johnson was far from heaven, but it was his audience who felt that they were truly in Satan's sitting room. Such was the case at the Grey Griffin's Club, for after the poet completed his version of Winchester, to strained applause, his plea for assistance in hushed tones to the amateur detective sitting to his right was met with the typical Druthers response of,
"Yes, of course. Absolutely."
Words chosen to fill any space with the appropriate amount of approbation and goodwill to all. The Grey Griffin's Club was renowned for literary nights that afforded members the opportunity to vigorously discuss the works of prose and poetry no one had any intention of reading. Barnaby discovered he was alone with Johnson in the dining hall, while the other Griffins found discreet ways to politely withdraw to the snooker table or the parlor, where their drinks could rest on the marble side tables that abutted large, comfortable chairs. Johnson asked his host pointedly what he thought of Sancta Silvarum, and, not knowing at all what he meant, Barnaby responded that he presumed it tasted better with butter.
"They say it is derivative. Can you believe it, sir? It sounds nothing like swimming."
The poet sighed. Barnaby made a muffled grunt that could always be interpreted as agreement or merely indigestion. The amateur detective was inordinately distracted, for earlier that evening, his mother referred to Hercules defeating the Chimera, in reference to Frost capturing Balfour in Argentina, of course, and Barnaby mused aloud if it were not Bellerophon. His mother did not prefer to be contradicted in her own home. As his mind wandered during Johnson's third page of Winchester, Barnaby considered that one of the more voluminous tomes on the shelves might set his mind at ease. He stood and begged his leave, stating,
"If you'll forgive me, I must retire to the library. There is a bit of research I must conduct."
"Wonderful,"
Johnson replied.
"I will join you."
He assumed incorrectly that the research would involve his own issue. There was a distinct odor in the library, and as the door closed, the movement of something inside garnered Johnson's attention. In the northwest corner, in this otherwise prestigious room, a small hut was forged with stacks of books and a map of Great Britain as its roof. Its occupant, an orange-billed, white-feathered duck, waddled out to indicate he was relatively annoyed at the intrusion.
"What's that?"
cried Johnson.
"Oh, Mr. Johnson, that is lunch,"
answered Barnaby nonchalantly. Lunch was merely the waterfowl's name, and not a brutal fate awaiting him. Suddenly, finding himself at a loss for words, which was something of a rarity for Johnson, he nodded. Barnaby searched for Bullfinch's mythology as Johnson tried to get his attention.
As to cause of plagiarism, there are those among his friends who believe I have no business writing a poem about this subject. I say the game is fair game, as it were.
What subject?
Deer.
I beg your pardon?
Deer. Swinning's In the Meadow may have preceded my work, but one can't claim an entire subject of deer in poetry.
Oh, dear.
Barnaby was only loosely connected with the conversation he was having, but Johnson's crucial point to his plea was otherwise unheard. As it happened, there was a small outcry in the world of poetry, for the acolytes of the acclaimed poet Joe Lloyd Swinning had taken offense at his use of rhyming the words lawn and fawn. Some claiming it had stepped beyond derivative into the more dangerous category of plagiarism. None of this history had been understood by Barnaby, who, while moving selected books from the shelves to find his copy of Bullfinches, asked Johnson to hold on. It happened to be the Collected Anthology of Poetry and Prose, Volume 3. Johnson believed the collection had a greater meaning other than simply moving it out of Barnaby's way. Johnson brought the volume to a table, sat down, and as he opened it, Lunch the Duck quacked. The sound did not produce the intended effect, as neither of the intruders produced anything to eat, which perturbed the duck to no end. Barnaby ignored the duck completely, for he now held in his hand the proof in writing by a credible source that it was Bellerophon and not Hercules who triumphed over the Chimera, although he granted that Hercules had done quite a bit in his day and had nothing to be ashamed of. Johnson's investigation into the Collected Anthology proved just as providential, for he discovered one poem from Elizabeth Masterling which used the same rhyme of lawn and fawn, and the date of publication preceded Swinning. It was proof that the rhyme scheme had no greater hold on the imagination than the rhyme of up and cup, and charges against him were unfounded. Believing Barnaby had given him the book, and knowing Johnson would find his solution within its pages, as opposed to simply not having enough hands to hold one book while leafing through another, he gushed with praise.
Mr. Druthers, you are a miracle worker.
I'm no Bellerophon, sir, but I do what I can.
How shall I ever repay you?
Johnson thought for a moment and then grinned from ear to ear.
I know just the thing. I will give a great poetry recital for you in your honor.
Will you?
Yes, indeed, sir. Wonderful,
rejoiced the poet. The duck quacked once more and sauntered off to his hut to sulk. And thus, Barnaby had inadvertently solved one more case and one more satisfied client to proclaim his praises. The poetry recital in Barnaby's honor is still pending at the time of this writing.